The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 8, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on January 13th, 2008, in Suva, Fiji.
So I'm very happy to be here with all of you nice souls here today who've come here to worship Krishna. I can't think of any better place to be than with a room full of people who want to worship Krishna. This is the best company. They say that you develop your consciousness according to the company that you keep. So this is the kind of company I'd like to keep, with people who have come to worship Krishna at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, my beloved spiritual master. Today, we have a special treat. Today we are going to study Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, his commentary and purport of Krishna's eternal supreme wisdom. Today we are reading from the sixth chapter, Dhyana Yoga, text number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutasto vijatendriya yukta it yuchate yogi samalokstram shakanchana. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stone, or gold, as the same. Purport. Book knowledge without realization of the supreme truth is useless. This is stated as follows. Atakshi Krishna namadi na bhaved grayam indriyai sevan muke hijivado svayam evas parajyada. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, quality, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. That's a quote from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.2.234. This Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with a person who is in pure consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna because he is satisfied with pure devotional service. By realized knowledge, one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge, one can remain steady in his convictions. But by mere academic knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. We discussed that in this morning's class, apparent contradictions in the scriptures. If one simply approaches the scripture academically, then there will appear to be so many contradictions. But one who actually realizes the scripture by becoming saturated in devotional service He sees everything perfectly. Prabhupada continues to, it is the realized soul who is actually self-controlled, because he is surrendered to Krishna. He is transcendental because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stones. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So Krishna is speaking here about the self-realized transcendentalist. You cannot become self-realized by studying in a university. That is academic knowledge. Or if you read the Bhagavad Gita commentary written by mundane scholars who are approaching Bhagavad Gita academically, you will never understand Bhagavad Gita. Never in a million years will you understand one word of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktosi me sakacheti. What does Krishna tell Arjuna? He's saying, because you are my devotee, as well as my friend, therefore this is being revealed to you. So, if you would like to realize this knowledge, just as Arjuna realized this knowledge, then you have to be a devotee. That's all. So how do you become a devotee? We become a devotee by the mercy of a devotee. Sangat sanjayate kama. If you have the good fortune to be in contact with the Lord's devotee or devotees, and you enter into that sangha, that association, with loving exchange, then by the mercy of Vaishnavas, you become a devotee, and you will realize the highest truth. Some people, the skeptics, say, well, there is no absolute truth. That's their philosophy. But we have to ask them, my dear sir, are you absolutely sure? In other words, you cannot absolutely say there's no absolute truth, because that's another absolute truth. So he has to say, well, I'm not absolutely sure, because that would contradict his own philosophy. So the fact is, there is absolute truth. And the Bhagavatam describes, what is that absolute truth? Janmajashyajataha. The absolute truth is that from which everything is emanating. Just like the sun in the sky is emanating the sun rays going all over the universe. You see. So, the absolute truth is the source of everything that exists. Nothing exists except those things which are emanating from the absolute truth. So what is that absolute truth? Krishna reveals that he is that absolute truth. In chapter number 10, verse number 8, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. So that absolute truth is Krishna. He is only hinted at in the Vedanta Sutra. But he is clearly describing himself in the Bhagavad Gita. And his pure devotees are clearly describing him throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we will study, in addition to Vedanta Sutra, we will study Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we will gain clear knowledge of who is that Absolute Truth and how we can realize him by complete surrender at his lotus feet. This is the statement of the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvadharman Purit Yoja Mamekam Shadanam Rajam Ahang Tvang Sarvapape Vyo Mokshiyashami Mahashucha. Forget everything else, just become my devotee. Many people worship Krishna, you see, but he's just one of the gods, you know. They go to the God's shopping mall in Krishna. They see Krishna just as one of the other shops in the mall, you see. A little Krishna here, a little Durga here, a little Shiva, Ganesh. But that's actually not how it's set up. Krishna is the God of the gods. He's the CEO. And everyone else is subordinate. This is confirmed in the Rig Veda. Om tad Vishnu paramam param prajapashyanti surayo deviya shakshyalatatam. All the gods are looking to the abode of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme. And that Vishnu, he is simply the expanded form of Krishna. So if we actually look at the Vedic wisdom carefully, we will see that Krishna is indeed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone else is subordinate to him. Therefore, we should surrender to Krishna and to Krishna only. The beauty of it is that when you do surrender to Krishna, automatically everyone becomes pleased. Why is that? When you're hungry, what part of your body do you feed? Do you feed your nose? Do you feed your ear? Do you feed your anus? Where do you feed yourself when you're hungry? You put the food in the mouth, isn't it? So it could go to the belly, right? And what does the belly do? The belly then digests that food and distributes the nutrition to every single part of the body. You see? You understand this point? The belly distributes the food to every single part of the body. So Krishna is like the belly of the total existence. And when you give your love to Krishna, when you give your service to Krishna, then automatically everyone becomes satisfied. Brahma becomes satisfied, Shiva becomes satisfied, Durga becomes satisfied, Ganesh, Indra, everyone, including yourself, because you are part of Krishna. Your neighbors become satisfied, your family members become satisfied. Everyone becomes satisfied when you serve Krishna. That's why it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Sri Krishna, a devotee is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Because he is serving Krishna with full love, everyone is satisfied by that devotee. Everyone appreciates him. He's able to make everyone happy. There's a saying, that you can please all of the people some of the time. And you can please, see, some of the people. You can please all the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time, but you can't please all the people all the time. But actually, if you surrender to Krishna, then you can act in a way that is unlimitedly auspicious for all living beings, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in all times, all places, and all circumstances. This is called perfect self-realization. You understand this point? This is the perfection of self-realization. To be able to act for the benefit of every single living entity throughout the totality of existence, at every second, with your every thought, your every word, and your every deed. Just imagine how satisfied a person would feel who's in that consciousness. There's not a tinge of lust. There's not a tinge of greed. There's not a tinge of madness, illusion, or envy in that person. Because everything he's doing is for the benefit of all living beings, because he's fully surrendered himself to Krishna. In this movement, Krishna Consciousness Movement, this is an educational institution. We are training our members, those who are participating in our programs. We are training you how to achieve pure Krishna bhakti. We don't say you have to come and live in our temple. But we do say you must turn your home into a temple. A temple, a Lord Krishna temple. Everyone should be worshipping Lord Krishna because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And all the other gods will become very pleased with you if you will simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Everyone else is spending money, trying to enjoy their senses in this way and that way. I understand there's some resorts here. What is it, $2,500 a night? What was that amount for they pay? $1,200 a night for a resort, a bure?
$50,000
a night?
Huh?
There's some where they pay $20,000 a night to enjoy their senses, you see. $20,000 a night. Can you imagine?
And that's US.
US dollars. Oh my God, that's about 40,000 Fiji. Can you imagine spending $40,000 for one night in a resort? $40,000. That's how hard they're trying to enjoy. But you know what? They're not even satisfied when they do that. $40,000 and they still aren't happy. Can you imagine? But if we will simply chant the names of God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Wherever you may be, anywhere in the world, whether you're in heavenly Fiji or in hellish LA, where I'm going next, Hell A, they call it, Hell A. Wherever you may be, in heavenly Fiji or Hell A, you see, if you chant Hare Krishna, you will be happy. Because you will be connecting with Krishna, the reservoir of unlimited pleasure. So, we invite you all to chant and be happy. Why should you suffer unnecessarily, you see, running after the will-o'-the-wisp of sense gratification? You see, Maya, she gives us this illusion that if we just gratify our senses, then we will be happy. You've seen how the washerman puts a carrot on a stick in front of the donkey, and the donkey goes after that carrot, you see. But he doesn't realize it's tied to a stick attached to his neck, and he'll never get the carrot, no matter how fast he runs. You ever seen that in India? They put a carrot, so the donkey goes running after the carrot. He never gets the carrot. He works hard all day. Oh, I want to get that carrot. So Maya is saying, yes, come on. Just serve me. Gratify your senses. I will give you happiness. Save up $40,000 for a night in a Fijian resort, you see. I will give you happiness. You work hard for me. Be a slave for me and work hard. I will satisfy you. It's simply a trick. Simply a trick. We're being cheated by Maya. We will never find any happiness. It's like that donkey will never get the carrot. We will never get happiness in this business of sense gratification. The only happiness we can actually achieve is simply by unalloyed surrender at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Don't be shy.
Hare Krishna. Why Krishna has to come to this material world? Why?
Why does Krishna come? Krishna is very, very kind. He is the loving father. He knows that so many of his children have fallen down into this material existence. Therefore, out of compassion upon them, he comes down here to try to save them. He's very eager to save them. So he comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Very, very eager to save them. So he comes again and again, and he sends his servants, his pure devotees here to save us, like Prabhupada, you see. He's very, very desirous to get us out of here. So even if we show a little interest, even a slight amount of interest, to get out of here, Krishna will give us unlimited facility. Even a tiny tinge of interest, if we show, he will give unlimited facility. So therefore, we should show Krishna, yes, my Lord, I want to get out of this place. I want to get out of the repetition of birth and death. We should approach the Lord, humbly bow down at his feet, and pray, my dear Lord, yes, I want to get out of this cycle of birth and death. Please save me. You see. If each and every one of you here in this room will go before the deities and pray like that, the deity will bless you unlimitedly. I guarantee it. You don't believe me? Try it. Pray with all sincerity and beg Krishna, please, my dear Lord, get me out of this place. I want out. I want your help. Please save me. Krishna will reciprocate with it. You'll be amazed what happens in your life. If you simply bow down before the deities here and pray like that, and then watch what happens after that in your life. You'll be amazed at the difference in your life. If you just pray like that with all sincerity, you'll be amazed at the difference, how your life becomes completely transformed. Any other questions? Yeah.
In Fiji, mostly people, they worship Lord Shiva. Mm. They consider him as a supreme personality of God. Can you elaborate Lord Shiva's position?
Yes, Shiva is, he amongst Vaishnavas, he is supreme. He is called Padam Vaishnava. He is the topmost Vaishnava. So he is actually a very worshipable personality, not as the Supreme Lord, but as the greatest servant of the Supreme Lord. So if someone wants to worship Shiva, they should understand that he is the greatest bhakta. And they should ask him to bless them with Krishna bhakti, because he has the greatest bhakti for Krishna. If they want to worship Shiva, let them do. But let them beg Shiva to give them Krishna bhakti. You see. Then they will be properly situated. Then they will actually please Lord Shiva. You know, there are many, in the Vedas we read about many devotees of Lord Shiva. They were demons. Bhavan was devotee of Shiva. There was another, what was his name? The one who touching on the skull? Vritasur. This is a typical Shiva devotee. He was worshipping Shiva, trying to get Shiva to come to bless him with his desired benediction. He was doing so many penances and austerities, Shiva would not come. He was cutting off his flesh and throwing it into a fire. Can you imagine what a hellish austerity that would be? Take a knife and cut off your own flesh and throw it in the fire as an offering to Shiva. Does anybody here do that? I don't think so. It's pretty austere. That's how austerity he was doing to please Shiva. Finally, Shiva still was not coming. So finally, he was going to cut off his own head and offer that to Shiva. So for Shiva, out of pity on the poor fellow, finally came and said, why don't you just offer me some water with love? I'll come. Why are you doing all this severe austerity? And he said, yeah, all right, my lord, now you give me this benediction. So Shiva said, okay, what do you want? He said, I want that whoever is, head I may touch with my finger, their skull will immediately crack and they will die immediately just by touching their skull. You see, give me that boon. What a hellish boon that is. What a demon he is. But Shiva had promised, all right. So now he's thinking, well, Shiva has a very beautiful wife, Parvati, and I'm standing here with him. I'll just touch Lord Shiva on the head. And then I can enjoy his wife, you see. Just see what kind of how devoted he was to Shiva. He was simply a selfish rascal. You see, this is the caliber of Shiva's devotees, you see. So Shiva was running all over the universe to get away from his devotee. He was trying to kill him by touching him on the skull. And finally they went all the way to, I think it was the Vaikuntha realm even. They went to one place where there was Lord Vishnu himself, disguised himself as a little boy, an innocent looking little boy. And Lord Vishnu, in the disguise of the little boy, said, what kind of fool are you? Do you think Shiva has the power to give you that benediction? And the demon became a little bewildered. I don't know. He said, just touch your own skull. You'll see that it's a useless benediction. So he touched his own skull and died immediately. So this is the Shiva worshipper, you see. He's very greedy. He wants money, he wants power, he wants to enjoy women. You know, he's liquor. He has all these desires. Not everyone. Some are more pious, some are less pious. But everyone who approached Shiva, generally, they're not praying for bhakti, they're praying for material things. So that is not very intelligent. If I approach the elevated personality for material things, then I'm cheating myself. Because all material things are ultimately coming from Krishna. And if you simply surrender to Krishna and absorb yourself completely in His service, then whatever material things you need to serve Krishna will come automatically without any extra endeavor. Just like here, this beautiful temple. So many dollars, thousands and thousands of dollars to build this temple, you see. Simply by devotion to Krishna, this wonderful temple has come, you see. So whatever you need, materially or spiritually, whatever you need to serve the Lord, if you simply fully absorb yourself in Krishna consciousness, whatever you need, material and spiritual, Krishna will provide it without any difficulty. Or even some difficulty is there, but it is purifying us. Some difficulty Krishna gives us. This burns off our past misdeeds. But Krishna always protects his devotees, that's a fact. He always protects his devotees. Shiva is simply supplying that which is provided by Krishna. So why not go directly to the original source of everything? Why go to a secondary supplier? You see? Just like in business, how many of you run, how many of you are in retail business? Let's see a show of hands. How many are in retail business? Anyone retail business? Running a shop? Anybody runs a shop? Nobody? Okay. Everybody's an employee? No businessman here? You run a shop? Anyway. So, the shop owner, any of the ladies' husbands have shops, businesses, selling merchandise? Nobody in the whole room? Maybe they're just shy. They're afraid they may get in trouble if they raise their hand. You're not going to get in trouble. It's just an example. So anyway, if you have a retail business, how do you make the most profit? By getting your goods at the cheapest price. So if you buy them from a distributor, he gets them, the distributor gets them from the manufacturer and he marks them up. Then you pay a marked up price beyond what distributor paid. You see. So you're not making as much profit if you buy it from a middleman. But if you can go directly to the manufacturer and buy all of your goods there, then you get a very cheap price and you make big, big profit. You see. So those who worship demigods, they're going to a middleman. And those who worship Krishna, they're going directly to the manufacturer. You see. That's the difference. Another example is, just like in America, also here in Fiji, I don't know the situation here. In America, there's one agency of the government called the IRS, Internal Revenue Service. Icelanders call it the Eternal Revenue Service, because there's nothing surer than taxes. But anyway. All you have to do in America is pay your taxes to the Internal Revenue Service, and then wherever you go to any government office, they take care of you. You're a tax-paying citizen. Whatever service you need, we will take care of you. But in India, when you go to government office, even if you have paid your tax, still, you have to give bribe here, bribe there, bribe, you see. So this demigod worship means you're giving a little bribe to this god, a bribe to that god, bribe to get your job done. But if you simply give all your love to Krishna, that's like the American system. You just pay your taxes. I don't know about in Fiji. Does everyone have to bribe here? Or is it just you just pay your taxes and you're okay in Fiji? What's the system? Is this also a bribe country? Or you just pay your taxes? You do both. Okay. In America, bribing is practically unheard of. It may be going on, but it's very hardly... We never bribed anyone, ever. There's no question. If somebody was caught doing it, you know, they'd be in big trouble. In India, they give you a low salary because I understand you're going to get bribes. It's part of the system. The salary is low, but the bribes are very big. But in America, they give big salaries. So there's no question of bribe. They get big, big salaries. These government employees, they have big, big salaries. So, the worship Krishna, that is the system of simply giving your taxes to the supreme government. And demigod worship is bribing business, you see. So what do you prefer? If you can just give all of your love to Krishna and your business is finished, all the gods will give you the best facility to serve Krishna. That is intelligent. And Krishna says, Kamaistayastaya hitagyana prapadyantenya devata tam tam niyamamashtaya bhagataniyatasvaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires worship the demigods. So demigod worship, Shiva, Brahma, Indra, Ganesh, Durga, etc. That is for people who are less intelligent. less intelligent, Hrita Gyan, whose knowledge has been stolen by illusion. Those who are actually intelligent, they give all of their love to Krishna and all of their needs are taken care of by Krishna. Any other questions? Yeah.
Most people in Fiji feel that Ganesh should worship first.
Yeah. Actually, one can, Prabhupada does mention that one can worship Ganesh to remove the obstacles on the path of bhakti. So if you, in your home, you want to worship Ganesh, then simply pray, my dear Lord Ganesh, please remove all the obstacles on the pathway of Krishna bhakti. But Prabhupada trained us in such a way that it's not necessary to worship Ganesh. Not required for us to worship. But if someone is very attached to doing that, then they should beg Ganesh for Krishna bhakti. But actually it's not necessary. Prabhupada never taught us to worship Ganesh. In fact, some disciples said they wanted to worship Ganesh because they were thinking they could get some money by worshiping Ganesh, you see. So Prabhupada told them that if they could give him $100,000 a month by worshiping Ganesh, then it was okay to worship Ganesh. Otherwise not. If by worshiping Ganesh they could get $100,000 a month to donate to Srila Prabhupada, then he would allow them to worship Ganesh. So they weren't able to do that, so they forgot about worshiping Ganesh. Yeah. What is she saying?
See, we get material things according to our karma.
Yeah.
So what's the need?
Yes, since material things are coming anyway by the din of past karma, why should we bother praying for them? This is the argument that Krishna told Ananda Maharaj also. Why should we worship the demigods when all of our material things are coming as a result of our past karma? This is the exact argument that Krishna gave to Ananda Maharaj why they should not worship Indra. Exact argument. The fact is, whatever material things you're getting, it's all by your past karma. That's a fact. So there's no need to worship for your many material things. There's only one reason you should worship God, and that's for bhakti. There's no reason to worship for material things. That is a big mistake. Just like that song, give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea in Fiji. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see? They are worshiping God for material things. That is stupid. It's really stupid. Because whatever material things are coming to you will come anyway because of your past karma. That's all. So you should worship God to develop bhakti. So you get out of karma chakra. That is intelligence. Yes? Anyone else inspired to ask one last question before we adjourn this meeting? Yeah. No. Is it he's asking, is it because of past karma that one becomes a devotee? No. It is described in the chain. Our karma is to remain in karma chakra. Karma keeps you. Your karma is to stay within karma. Karma is entangling. It keeps you caught up in karma chakra. How to get out of karma chakra? That is described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadepai Bhakti Lata Beach. After being carried on the conveyor belt of karma through the universe, the upper planets, the lower planets, the middle planets, through 8,400,000 species of life, being carried along on that conveyor belt of karma chakra, you see. One living entity, Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, one living entity who is very, very, very fortunate. He comes in contact with the pure devotee of Krishna, who plants the seed of bhakti in his heart. You see? So actually it is, you can somehow come in contact with Krishna's pure devotee. If you are fortunate to come in contact with Krishna's pure devotee, and you hear the words emanating from his mouth, and you take them into your ears with all seriousness, deeply into your heart, if you will take his words, by that hearing the words from the mouth of Krishna's pure devotee, the seed of bhakti becomes planted in your heart. And if you nourish that seed by regularly chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And you weed the garden of the heart by avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. And if you build a very strong fence around that garden so that no mad elephant of Vaishnava Aparad can trample on your creeper, then you will get free from karma chakra. So it's by coming in contact with the pure devotee of Krishna, you see, the bona fide spiritual master, pure devotee of Krishna. If you can somehow come in contact with that pure devotee, then you can become liberated. So one must take advantage when one comes in contact with Krishna's pure devotee. I had the good fortune of coming in contact with the greatest pure devotee in the history. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. I understood that I was in the most advantageous position that one could ever hope to achieve in millions of lifetimes. Therefore, I completely surrendered myself at his lotus feet. So that is the thing. When one comes in contact with the bona fide spiritual master, there's nothing to do except surrender at his lotus feet. Of course, you have to study him to make sure he's bona fide. But after you're sure that he's a bona fide spiritual master by reading the Shastra and studying his characteristics, his qualities, and what he's speaking, when you realize that you have indeed found a bona fide spiritual master, then you should completely surrender yourself at his lotus feet. That's the way to get out of karma. It's not by your past karma. You'll never get out by past karma, but only by the mercy of the pure devotee. Yes. One has it. The human life gives a choice. In the other species, you're being carried along by karma. That's all. You have no choice. The dog has to bark. The cat has to meow. You see, you have to act according to nature. You cannot violate. The human being has a choice. He can act like an animal, simply gratifying his senses, or he can act to become self-realized by surrendering to Krishna under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. He has a choice. No other species has a choice. They have to simply act under nature's direction. They have no choice. The mango tree has to produce mangoes. He cannot produce papaya, even if he wants to. You see. The dog has to bark. You see. The snake has to bite. Everyone has to do what they're ordained to do. But the human being has a choice. He can act like an animal, or he can surrender to Krishna and become as a spiritually realized, perfect being. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Completely, totally? Completely satisfied? You're totally satisfied. One has a choice to become a devotee. Huh? If one makes a choice of being a devotee, then you come in contact? No. Not necessarily. If one decides, yes, I wanted to be a devotee of Krishna, and I need someone to guide me, then Krishna will certainly send a bona fide spiritual master to do that. But even if one has not come to that conclusion, I would like to surrender myself to God, The pure devotees, they wander all over this planet to bless everyone with Krishna bhakti. So you may just by good fortune happen to come in contact. Even if you had no inclination towards bhakti, one may come in contact with the pure devotee. And if one somehow takes advantage of that meeting, then one also becomes blessed. Is that fully answered? Completely satisfied? All right, that's good. So I'm going a little over time, but I only come once a year, so I can fudge a little bit maybe. There's nothing else? All right, well, I thank you all very, very much for your so kindly coming here to participate in this all auspicious activity of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I request that you kindly take these words, these instructions that have been given to you today, very, very seriously and apply them with all sincerity. If you do this, I can guarantee you, absolutely guarantee you, that your life will be sublime. You won't take birth again in this material world. You will live with Krishna at every minute, even while you're in Subha. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.